Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. As the announcer stated, the East Abbotville Church of Christ will be assembling this morning at 9:30 for Bible study and then for a period of worship, and also this evening at 5 and Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. We urge you to come and be with us, but if it's at all impossible for you to do so, log on to eastabbotville.org at those times, and you can both see and hear either the Bible classes or the worship period. Also, keep in mind that tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, Bible Crossfire. Pat Donahue has a program that alive, you can call in your Bible question, speak directly to him, and expect a Bible answer. That's tonight at 8 o'clock on WBSA, but if you're unable to pick up the station at that time and have satellite radio capability, tune to Sirius XM Channel 131. Please keep these things in mind. You know, there's a lot of things said in the religious world concerning salvation, what man is to do in order to have the forgiveness of sin. And in the midst of all of the maze of things that are said, one of the things that you almost are sure to hear is that there are those who make the statement that salvation is by faith and has nothing to do with works. And oftentimes, as what they consider to be a proof of that statement, they'll quote Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So, taking those two verses, they go away and say that salvation is by faith and has nothing to do with works. Well, is that really what that passage says? You know, we're dealing with God's Word. And God's Word does not contradict itself. God does not contradict Himself. So, when we look at the Bible, which is God's Word, it's the revealing, the revelation of the mind of God, revealing to us what God's will for us is, then if we take a position, whatever that position is on whatever the subject may be, and we find that there are other verses that say the exact opposite of what we're saying, then is the problem with God's Word, or is the problem with our understanding God's Word? Well, I would want to believe that the problem is with us. The problem is with our understanding of God's Word, because God's Word is perfect. It's perfect in the sense that it does not contradict itself. So what I mean by all of this is, yes, they quote Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, and come away with the belief that salvation is by faith without having anything to do with works. But you know, I find a passage in James, the second chapter. In verse 24, here's what it says. "We see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." Well, friends, that's an exact contradiction to what religious organizations, religious churches, and those that profess to be preachers are saying. They're saying, was saved by faith only. Salvation has nothing to do with works. James says, we're saved by works, we're saved not by faith only. So we've got a contradiction in God's word if what they're saying about Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 is true. But we don't have a contradiction. And how can we say that? We can say that because obviously there has been a failure to understand what works is being referred to in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Yes, indeed, verse 9 says, not of works. And we're talking about salvation. That's the context, because verse 8 says, by grace you have been saved through faith. So, yes, we're talking about the subject of salvation, what to do to be saved. And yes, we agree, all of us agree, that we're saved by the grace of God. We are saved by faith that we must have in order to please God, as Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says. But when it gets to the point of verse 9 where it says not of works, then there are those that want to say that includes any and everything that can possibly be done. Those are the works that they have in mind. But my question is that the works that the Holy Spirit had in mind when he had the Apostle Paul divinely inspired to write these words in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9? Let's understand, in the Bible, there are different kinds of works that are mentioned. There are the works of the law of Moses that we read about. In Acts chapter 13, in verse 39, it says, by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So, anyone today trying to keep the law of Moses, regardless of what they do, they cannot be justified. They cannot be saved. That's what Acts 13 and verse 39 is saying. So we're not justified by the works of the law of Moses. So anyone today that does the works of the law, then indeed, those works will not save. And that certainly complies with what Paul said in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Our salvation is not of works, not of the works of the law of Moses. But there are other verses in addition to Acts 13 that points that out to us. Galatians 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. And again, the works of the law in the book of Galatians, the whole book of Galatians is written to those Christians to warn them and to encourage them not to go back under the law of Moses. So the works of the law that are being referred to here in Galatians 2 verse 16 obviously refer to what's being addressed in the context, and the context is the law of Moses. Let's drop on down to verse 19 of Galatians 2. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. In other words, if we could be found righteous before God through the keeping of the law of Moses, there would not have been any need for Jesus to have come. We could have been saved under the law of Moses. But the law of Moses was lacking in that, number one, they did not keep it perfectly. Israel did not keep the law perfectly. When we fail to do what God says do, what is that? That's sin. All right, so failing to do what God commands us to do is sin. Sin separates us from God, we know from Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Under the law of Moses, the blood of bulls and goats that were offered as a sacrifice and atonement for sin could not remove sin. It could atone for sin. It could cause sin to be rolled forward a year. But again, every year, the high priest would have to go into the Most Holy and offer that lamb without spot and blemish, and the sins would be remembered, but again, they would be rolled forward another year. But that's the point of the law of Moses. Sin was remembered. Under the law of Christ, sin is forgiven, and sin is forgotten. That's what Paul is saying here in Galatians 2. The reason why you Galatians don't need to go back under the law of Moses is for the fact that if righteousness, if salvation could be attained under the law of Moses, then Christ died in vain. So we're dealing again with the works of the law of Moses. Romans chapter 3, and verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Again, what's the context and what's the law that's being referred to? It's the law of Moses. And again, we cannot be justified through the works of the law of Moses. Romans 4, in verse 4, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And it's here in Romans 4 that Abraham is used as an example. Abraham lived before the law of Moses. He lived during that period of time that we know God revealed his will to the heads of the family. We've called those heads of the family patriarchs. So God revealed his will directly to Adam, to Noah, to Abraham. So Abraham lived before the law was given unto Moses on Mount Sinai. Abraham was accounted righteous before God. Why? Because he did what God, first of all, commanded him to do. That is, he had faith in God. When God spoke, Abraham moved to do what God said. And that's the other thing about Abraham, that he offered his only son. He did what God commanded him to do. And we read about this in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham offered his son. And we see that this faith, coupled with his obedience, resulted in Abraham being imputed righteousness unto him. And then it's in Romans 11, verse 6. For if by grace, then it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it's no longer grace, otherwise work is no longer work. But again, we're dealing with works of the law of Moses, those things that God commanded under the law of Moses. None of those commandments can we keep and be counted righteous, be counted justified, or none of those commandments can we keep and be assured that we will be saved. So truly, as Paul said in verses 8 and 9, salvation is not of works, because nothing that we can do in keeping the law of Moses will save us. So we see then that the works of the law of Moses are excluded. We can't keep them and expect to be saved. But then also in the scriptures, not only do the scriptures talk about works of the law of Moses, but also the scriptures talk about the works of man. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, obviously we see when it says that a man is justified not by works, lest anyone should boast. This also helps us to see that there's another kind of works, and that is the works that you, I, or someone else might come up with and say, hey, if you do this, you will be saved. Well, if we can't go to the scriptures and find where it says to do this, then we're saying that this is something that we can do, that on our own we do it and the Lord will save us. When we do that, we've made up our own terms. We've made our own plan of salvation. And if we can make our own plan of salvation and it really and truly result in the forgiveness of our sins, hey, we've got something to boast about. But it's not of those kind of works either. It's not of works, lest we can turn around and boast. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So it's not of works of righteousness which we have done. That is, works that we have come up with on our own, separate and apart from what God has said, and then that will end up resulting in our salvation. 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 9, says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God has not left the plan of salvation up to man. God has not left the scheme of redemption, of how that sin can be removed from mankind and remove that separation that existed between God and man on account of sin. God originated the plan, and it's God's plan that we're going to have to comply with. Any plan otherwise is a plan that we're calling upon God to save him according to our works. Save him according to what it is that we have devised. I think this is clearly seen when we look at Romans, the 10th chapter. Notice verse 1, beginning. Verily, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Friends, this is always true. This is always the case. When, for whatever the reason, we lack knowledge of God, whether it's because we choose to fail and study God's Word, or whether it is that we know what God's Word says, but we just simply choose to ignore it, and there are multiple reasons that we would want to do that. Maybe God's Word does not say exactly what we had our minds made up for already. That's a problem. When we already have our minds made up as to what we believe about something, then we go to God's Word. Here's something that says that that's not what we ought to believe, but we just set aside God's Word because this is what we want to believe. Or it could be that this is what we want to believe because this is what we were taught as children. This is what our parents believed. This is what our grandparents believed. This is what some preacher that we had a great deal of confidence and love and respect for. This is what he said. So we set aside the commandments of God. Not that we don't know what God's Word says, but we choose to do otherwise than what God said. Every time that does, every time that occurs, it's just like here. Israel had a zeal for God, but it was not according to knowledge. And being ignorant of God's righteousness, that is what God would have them to do, they sought to establish their own righteousness. Friends, sad to say, but that's where so much is in the religious world today. We have set aside God's Word for what we have always believed, for what the church has always practiced. This is what Mom and Dad believed. This is what Grandma and Grandpa believed. This is what preacher so-and-so said about it. And what we do, whenever we go away from God's Word, we establish our own righteousness. We don't submit to the righteousness of God, but then we still expect to be saved. Israel still expected to be saved. Friends, this is what we see. Not by works lest any man should boast. We cannot be saved by our own righteousness. Those works are excluded, just as much so as any works that we might do under the law of Moses. But then there's another kind of works that we read about in the Scriptures, and that is the works of God. This is obviously what James is referring to in James 2. When we read there in the beginning of our study in verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. James obviously was not talking about the works of the law of Moses, because we've seen scripture after scripture that showed that we are not justified through the keeping of the works of the law of Moses. Obviously, James was not in consideration of the works that man can come up with, the doctrines, the teachings, the commandments that man originates. But what James is referring to when he says that man is justified by works has to be the works that God has commanded, therefore the works of God. Now, in Acts chapter 10, here's what we read in verse 34, beginning. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Now, what is these works of righteousness that is mentioned here in Acts 10? Are they works of man's righteousness that we read about a moment ago in Romans 10? No, not at all, because the works of man's righteousness is the result of their not following the Word of God. They're not following the knowledge that God has revealed in His Word. So no, the works of righteousness that God will accept are obviously the works that God has commanded of us to do. And that's what we see when we again examine Romans 10, verses 1, 2, and 3, when he says that we, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish our own righteousness, what we need to do instead is submit to the righteousness of God. 2 here in Romans, look at chapter 5, in verse 21. "So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So it's obvious from what we've seen in Romans 10 that there are two righteousnesses that's spoken of in the Scriptures. There's God's righteousness and there's man's righteousness. And what we must submit to is God's righteousness. So when we read this passage in Romans 5, verse 21, we see that it is through righteousness that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, which righteousness is being referred to? The righteousness of man? The righteousness of God? Well, I think the answer to that is simple, isn't it? We are able to have eternal life through the righteousness of God. In Psalms 119, in verse 172, he says, "My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." God, what God commands is righteousness. What man tries to do is substitute his righteousness for God's. But that never worked, it never has worked, it never will work. So we must, as Romans 10, verse 3 says, submit to the righteousness of God. And how do we do that? We do that when we do what God commands to do. God's commandments are righteousness. Romans 1, verse 16, here's what we read in that passage. Excuse me. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone that believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. for in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we see that in the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed. 1 John 2, verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who doeth righteousness is born of him. In the third chapter of 1 John, verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, or as one translation says, he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Then in 1 John 3, verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever doeth righteousness whoever doth not righteousness is not of God, but he who does, nor does he who does not love his brother. So we see that the children of God and the children of the devil, it becomes evident which is which when it is that there are those that will not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. In Philippians 3, notice in verse 9, that we're to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So see, this verse helps to explain what James is talking about. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And Paul says to be found in Christ, not having our own righteousness, which is from the law, and the law again referring to the law of Moses, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Faith, our faith is to come from the hearing of God's word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. God's word is the gospel. God's word is the righteousness of God that has been revealed. And so faith in God's word, doing the righteousness of God and what God commands us to do, that's the works of God. And those are the works that are included. The works of the law of Moses, the works of man, those are excluded. Only the works of God are the works that we need to be concerned with. Now, in the end of our study, let's ask ourselves some questions. What does faith classify? Is that a work of God? Is it a work of man? Well, John chapter 6, verse 28, they said to Jesus, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Friends, don't we know that faith is a work? Why is faith a work? Because faith is commanded. Anything that God commands is a work that we must do. Faith has been commanded. Faith is a work of God. So, see how silly it is for somebody to say that we're saved by faith only and works has nothing to do with saving us? They're completely ignoring the fact that faith is mentioned and referred to in the Scripture as a work. And the reason it is, it's what God commands. God commands us to have faith. What about repentance? Is that a work of God or is it a work of man? Well, Acts 17 and verse 30, the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Don't God command repentance? Then it's a work of God. What about confession? Romans 10, verse 10, of the heart one believes into righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Is confession a command of God, or is it a command of man? Faith is a command of God, therefore it's a work of God. And what about baptism? Acts 10, verse 48, Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Peter was an apostle of the Lord, an ambassador. When Peter commanded it, it was the Lord commanding. Baptism is a command. Baptism is a work of God, not a work that man's commanded. Friends, we see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow to learn that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now, return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.